Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. He's Mo DeKeel. Brian Smith is making this show sound audible. And the Golden State Warriors did not close out the Western Conference Finals. Mavs win 119-109 at home. And that score is interesting because it was a 29-point lead for Dallas at the start of the fourth quarter. Before we get to how that fell apart, let's get to how they got there. And that's a pretty obvious answer. It's first-team All-NBA, Luka Doncic.
Yeah, he was amazing. You know, and shockingly enough, just one assist shy of a triple-double, 30, 14, and 9. You know, didn't even shoot it that well, Jared. 10 of 26 from the field, 3 of 11 from 3. But just did a great job of hitting timely shots, important buckets. I felt like the most important thing for the Mavs, and it actually even started with Luka, was they attacked a lot with pace. Like, they attacked early and often, and they got into their offensive sets earlier before the defense can set up, before the zone can set up. It was a nice performance for about 3.5 quarters for the Mavs as a whole.
Yeah, by the way, Golden State was in a zone, right? Because I was watching in a loud bar, and so I couldn't hear what they were saying on the broadcast, but it looked like they were in a zone a lot of that time.
Yeah, you know, they were doing like a 3-2 zone or a 1-2-2 zone and things like that. They had a couple of, you know, screw-ups where I think they're going to have to clean up as a team. I think there were instances where they thought somebody else was rotating and they were just supposed to stunt. You know, Doncic got a wide open three on a situation where I think Draymond and Curry were not on the same page. Late in the game, same scenario where I think Nemanja Bjelica was not on the same page with everybody and Luka got a dunk off that zone. It was good stuff from the Mavs in general, though. For the most part, there were times where they stopped attacking it, but when they were, it was aggressive, getting into the paint and finding kickouts.
I mean, my favorite play was, I think it was like 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Golden State's in the box and one or 1-2-2, whatever it is. And Wiggins is way out at half court on Luka. Really smart play by Luka. They just pick and roll for Luka up at half court. And Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are still standing like down by the free throw line. And they just point to each other as Luka drives between the two of them and gets to the rack. Like, there's a reason why teams don't just run zone the entire time. Like, it requires a lot of communication. And Golden State just looked kind of rusty. And Luka was able to carve his way through it.
And part of that, too, is like, that's on Wiggins. You know, if you're going to pick him up that high up and you kind of have to have high pickup points, you're putting yourself in a situation where, all right, we set the screen and then there's nobody for Luka, you know, and nothing makes a coach happier. Jared, nothing makes a coach happier than when you go back to the tape and you watch two guys pointing to the other guy to go get them. There's nothing. Ah, shit. Jared, I think I got a leak on the roof.
Is it halftime already? We're only entering the second quarter of the show, but all right, let's cut to the chase. The most important thing that happened in this game was a rain delay in an NBA game.
Was it indoor arena?
I have no idea, but there was a leak in the roof, and it happened to be right on the corner of the court, and so there was just like a giant pile of towels in the corner of the court. They delayed this game for a while coming out of halftime.
Yeah, I mean, they had to roll out the balls again. Everybody had to put on their shooting shirts again and warm up all over again. It was kind of a odd moment. It apparently is pouring in Dallas, and the Mavs roof is leaky, apparently, you know, and there was a shot later in the broadcast where they showed the tunnel, and I think it's the tunnel the Warriors have to run through, and that was full on leaking. And I was like, wow, like, this is a problem. Like, yo, Mark, can you call somebody? Can you get a roofer out there in time? What's going on?
I mean, the Warriors look like they were playing underwater most of this game until the fourth quarter. We'll get to that. We're not going to get there quite yet, but we will get there. Let's go to DFS. Dorian Finney-Smith, he had an offensive night. He had 23 points, 9 for 13 shooting, 4 for 7 from deep. What did he do so well, and how did him and Luka play off each other so well?
Well, I think for starters, he made open shots. Like, this is the one thing I've been saying about the series is like, yo, the Mavs have missed a ridiculous amount of open looks. He started to knock a lot of those downs. And I think the other thing that was really important was he didn't just settle for that. He had a couple of plays where he drove in on closeouts and things like that. I think he attacked quite a bit and found some stuff. He got a couple layups out of it and things like that. It was a nice flowing game for him for the most part, where it wasn't just staying on the perimeter. I felt like, you know, Luka did a great job feeding him and finding him. He had a great play where Luka found him in the corner in the third, I think it was in the third quarter. He attacked the zone and got right into the paint and then kicked it out to Reggie Bullock for a real important three. Like, just great stuff in general from Finney-Smith in terms of being not just a shot maker, but being a bit of a playmaker.
Yeah, and Dallas overall shot 20 for 43. Huge bounce back for Reggie Bullock, shooting 6 for 10 in only 18 minutes. Or, I'm sorry.
38 minutes.
I'm looking at the points call. You know, don't even edit it out. Screw it. But yeah, the point is they shot 46.5% from three. They had a really, really good shooting game. That's how you beat the Warriors, right? You got to outshoot them. Dallas's defense was great for three and a half, I guess, half quarters. What did they do so well, and why did everything fall apart when the Golden State bench unit came in and obviously made a huge run to make this a close game again?
Well, really because the Mavs themselves, you know, they put in their end-of-game lineup, and those guys just didn't perform at all. You see this happen from time to time in the regular season where we'll see a team cough up a big lead because those guys didn't come in ready to play. Credit the Warriors, Bielitsa, Kuminga, Moody, Pool, like those guys, Damian Lee, they really were going, and they were going hard. They weren't playing the scoreboard. They were just going out there and playing, knocking down shots, not a lot of closeouts from the Mavs and things like that. And that led to just a situation where all of a sudden it's an 8-point game.
Yeah, Kuminga, he had two long stints in this game, and he was ferocious at both of them. He finished with 17 points in only 21 minutes, and he had 8 rebounds. And we even got to see Moody and Kuminga out there together a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that really worried a lot of people because it was in the second quarter. It didn't look very good. I think part of it, too, people have to – I think the issue was, hey, Otto Porter Jr. doesn't look right, and they need him. So they didn't want – they wanted to see if they can kind of try to steal a game without him, and I think that led to a situation where Kerr had to try his two rookies at the same time. And, yo, it did not look very good in the first half. It got a lot better in the second half, but it did not look very good in the first half with that experiment.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Okay, so Dallas won a game, not a sweep. Are they going to complete the biggest comeback in NBA history?
Oh, God, could you imagine if the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead and then became the first team to blow a 3-0 lead? Could you imagine that? That's not in play here. That's not going to happen. This team, the Warriors, are going to go back to Golden State. They're going to handle their business. I am not too concerned there. Hey, the Mavs got a game. It was nice. It was important. They showed some real fight tonight. But ultimately, I still think this series is over.
All right. The All-NBA teams are here. Mo, read it off for me.
All right. On first team, we have Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. On the second team, Joel Embiid, Ja Morant, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and DeMar DeRozan. Third team, Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam, and one young LeBron James. That's your All-NBA team there, Jared. Anybody surprise you on that?
It's not a surprise, but like Tatum getting first team when he shot like 30% from three for almost the entire season, then got really hot at the end. It definitely is. It is notable that he got that. He's getting there because of the whole center thing with Joel Embiid and Jokic. We know both those guys should be first team, but Tatum is certainly deserving of it. You know, I guess at least second team minimum. And then I guess just LeBron getting it when his defense was kind of nightmarish a lot of the season. It felt like, I mean, he was impressive, but like the team was so bad. There were a lot of empty stat nights. He didn't seem like somebody who was really committing to winning, especially the way the season ended. It does feel weird to say this, but it kind of felt, it feels bizarre seeing LeBron getting an All-NBA nod this year.
Wow. I thought, you know, with just his, I mean, granted a lot, you're right, a lot of empty stats nights and stuff like that. Just his scoring run alone, I think, was maybe worthy of the nod there a little bit. Who would you have replaced him with?
Hey, man, I'm not here to bring solutions. I'm just here to point out problems.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't come prepared with a better option because, honestly, I am definitely struggling to find somebody who clearly was a better option. I'm just glad Pascal Siakam got there. Like, I just feel like he's the kind of guy that because his rise came on later in the season, because Toronto is kind of out of the main eye of the league for a while, that people maybe didn't notice how substantial he was. And like the dude had the least number of votes by a pretty wide margin of anybody that made the All-NBA team. But he was very clearly an All-NBA caliber player this year.
Yeah. And just a couple of note here, because the way the All-NBA teams affect contracts and things like that, Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns are now eligible to sign a 4-year, $241 million Supermax extension there, Jared, this offseason. You going to assign me to a Supermax?
Mo, you are worth every single penny that you get. But I'm not, and we're out of time, so that's going to have to do it here. This is the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show for Mo DeKeel. I'm Jared Weiss. Brian Smith is our producer. LeBron James is our MVP. Mo, take us out of here.
Ding, ding.